This morning, my heart is burdened with a message from the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. And that's an interesting name, the Acts of the Apostles. It just tells us that for 28 chapters in the Bible, God is going to be describing to us the Acts of the Apostles, what they went about doing in the name of the crucified and risen Savior. And here in Acts chapter 18, we have an account of the Apostle Paul leaving Athens, Greece, and going to Corinth. And let's notice, beginning in chapter 18 and verse 1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded that all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. So, the setting here is Paul, the Apostle Paul, having ministered in Athens, has now come to the city of Corinth. And to appreciate this lesson, we need to understand that Corinth was a very corrupt and wicked city. It was one of the worst. In those days, the first century, if somebody was living a wicked life, a sinful life, an immoral life, they would often be referred to as Corinthians. That's the reputation the city of Corinth had. And God has called the Apostle Paul to go to this city. And I'm sure he would have much rather been in other cities like Philippi, but God had called him to go to Corinth. And being a faithful, obedient servant of God, Paul was willing to go to this city. But there was a lot of reasons for him to be discouraged in this city. How many of y'all have ever dealt with discouragement in your life? Discouragement is one of Satan's greatest weapons against God's children. We get discouraged. Well, Paul was struggling with some discouragement here in Corinth. And so the Lord appeared to him. I want to drop down now to verse 9 and notice, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to put thee, to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. So after the Lord appeared to him in this vision and encouraged him, how many of y'all would be encouraged if God appeared to you in a vision? Well, I want to tell you, he appears to us in this word every day if we read it. How many of y'all are ever encouraged as you read the Bible? Do you ever read the Bible and just really get discouraged? I want to tell you, as you read Scripture, as you read the Word of God, you'll find yourself being encouraged. Because, see, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So, beloved, the Bible I hold in my hand this morning is just as reliable as a vision would be from God. How many of y'all believe this is the Word of God? Bible says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So you and I should not be neglecting the book, the Bible. We should be reading it and searching it and enjoying it. So the Lord appears to him in a vision and says, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. Now, why should the Apostle Paul not be afraid? Why should he feel free to speak and preach the gospel in this wicked city of Corinth? Well, the reason is given in verse 10, "For I am with thee." Now, beloved, I want you all to think about that this morning. God said to the Apostle Paul, "I am with thee." And did you know he has promised to be with every one of us? We read in Hebrews where God said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Y'all remember that promise? "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now that's not some preacher telling you that or some angel or mama or daddy. That's the God of the universe. He said, "I will never, never." Now you know what the word "never" means in Greek and Hebrew and Swahili and English. It means never. God said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now, how many in the house this morning recognize that you need him every day? I need him all the time. I can't find a time when I don't need the Lord. And I'm glad to be able to come here this morning and tell you all that his promise is, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." See, leaving is one thing, forsaking is another. A husband may have to leave his family to go on a job, but hopefully he doesn't forsake them. But I want to tell you, beloved friends, a husband can't be with his family all the time. He's got to go here and there and hither. But I want to tell you, God can be with all of us at all times. He is omnipresent. Now that's hard to comprehend, isn't it? A being that is everywhere present and nowhere absent. Listen, that's our God. And he promised all of his children, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," so that we may boldly say. Now what is it that we can boldly say? "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Amen. Now I want to tell you, you all, I hope y'all can get this message this morning and rejoice in it and know that God has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And the beloved Apostle Paul needed this message from God as he began to try to build a New Testament church in the city of Corinth. He stayed there 18 months, and God was with him, and God blessed him, and God opened doors of utterance for him, and many people were being converted to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, beloved, it's one thing to start something. It's something else to finish it. We all enjoy probably starting certain projects, and we enjoy finishing in them, but it's in that middle ground where we can get discouraged. That's when we're tempted to quit. I heard about a city up north that was getting a lot of snow, and this man was out shoveling his driveway. The snow was 3 or 4 feet deep. And these young boys were going around with their shovels trying to get some work. And they asked this old man, "Can we help you shovel your driveway?" And he said, "Thank y'all, but I've got it." And they said, "Well, that's okay. We get most of our work from people who are half through." Well, we can all get started on a job. We enjoy starting projects. And we enjoy finishing them, but it's in the middle where we can get discouraged. But I want to say to all of us today who are laboring to live a Christian life, and how many of y'all this morning want to live a Christian life? How many of y'all really want to live the life Jesus wants you to live? Talking about prayer, that's something we ought to pray every day. Lord, help me to be the person you want me to be. Thy will be done. Wow. No. His will and our will sometimes get crossed up, but we ought to eliminate our will and pray that His will be done. And if we're going to live a life that He wants us to live, we're going to need Him to be with us on a regular basis. And let me tell you, if you've started the Christian life, that's a wonderful thing. If you have come down this aisle and you have professed your love of Jesus and you've been baptized in His name, that's a wonderful thing. But let me tell you, beloved, when you do that, Satan is going to be attacking you. He's going to be trying to hinder you in every way he can imaginable. Do y'all agree with that? When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, that was a glorious moment in his life. And the Father of Heaven broke the silence of 400 years and spoke with that voice from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Can you imagine how rejoicing our Savior was in that moment? The Spirit came down from heaven, the Holy Spirit, lighted upon His shoulder as a dove. It was a reunion of the divine Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Don't y'all know the Savior was happy to hear that? And did you know that's what every child needs to hear from their mama and daddy? How many of y'all this morning as parents ever tell your children, "You're my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter"? I want to encourage every parent in this house today to say that to your children, to verbalize it, not just show it, but say it. That's a wonderful experience for children to hear. Well, our Savior heard it. But immediately after His baptism, He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Right after this high point in His life, He's going to be going through the most difficult testing He has ever faced. For 40 days, our Savior is going to be in the wilderness. And His faith is going to be tested by Satan, the old tempter himself. And beloved, if you're trying to follow Jesus today, I want to tell you, Satan is going to do all he can to try to weaken you and destroy your testimony. Last week, Nelda attended the ordination of her nephew, Mason Tillery, to the ministry. And there were 29 elders there from different states who came to lay hands on that young man and pray for him. And I would encourage you all to pray for him. It's a wonderful thing for a young man to feel called of God to preach. And it's a wonderful thing for them to be obedient to that call. But I can tell you, Satan wasn't happy about it. And he'll be trying to attack Brother Mason in every way. When I was ordained here many years ago at the age of 18, my Uncle Joe Bryant in the charge that day to me got up and said, "Sammy," he said, "the mountain you started to climb has a lot of slick places in it." I had no idea what Uncle Joe was talking about at that time, but I've got a good idea what he was talking about tonight. There have been a lot of slick places in my journey, but God has been faithful. God has been with me, and God has been with you all. And I hope you understand that today. And I hope you understand how much you need Him, and how much you're going to need Him, and how faithful He is, and how sufficient His grace is for you in this life. And so the Apostle Paul in the city of Corinth gets the message from God. He says, "For I am with thee." Let me tell you, beloved, if you've set out to do anything good in this world, God will be with you. If you've gotten married, and we have a young couple here today who just recently got married, that's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? There's a young couple here. Well, there's two couples here just got married, actually. And we thank God for that. But I can tell you what, the devil isn't happy about it. The devil hates marriage. He hates family. He hates people coming together in love to honor Him. He hates that. And he'll attack that. And let me tell you, he has been attacking marriage in our country for a long time. And young couples need God in their marriage, just as old people. Anybody here today? Now, I'm 76 years old. Here's my testimony. I need God more today than I've never needed him. That's my testimony. But my testimony is God is faithful and his grace is sufficient. And so Paul is going to begin to try to build a church in the city of Corinth. And let me tell you, America today has become a very corrupt nation. I tell you, I love Charlie Kirk, and I thanked God for his boldness to go on college campuses. Marco Rubio said to him, and I think a lot of Marco Rubio, and Marco Rubio was talking to Charlie, and Charlie was telling him that his burden was to go on college campuses and try to witness the truth of God's word to our young people. And you know what Marco said? Why don't you go somewhere easy like Havana, Cuba? In other words, he was saying Cuba would be an easier assignment than our college campuses. Satan is active on our college campuses today. And millions of our young people are being bombarded constantly from teachers, professors who have sold out to the flesh and the world and the devil. Oh, how our young people need God with them in the classroom. Amen. I've got a granddaughter in college. I pray for her constantly. I want to tell you, beloved friends, we are living in a dangerous, broken world. And we all need God. Now, we need money. How many of y'all agree we need a little money? Money helps. We all need a little education. There are things that we need, but more than anything else, we need God's grace and God's presence in our lives. And he has said, I will be with thee, and no man shall set on thee. Oh, my soul, how we need the living God today in our trouble. Now, listen, everybody deals with problems. You know, you've probably spoken to some people this morning that were smiling. And I think we ought to go to church smiling. I like what Orphan Annie said, you're never fully dressed without a smile. I don't care how pretty your outfit is, if you don't smile, you're not fully dressed. We got a lot to smile about. But behind a lot of those smiles are problems and heartaches. Right here in this building today, you spoke to people that were smiling at you, but they got problems. It might be economic problems. A lot of people are losing their jobs. The government has shut down. You know, that's alarming in a way, isn't it? It's serious with a lot of people who may be losing millions of jobs. People may be having health problems. We certainly had a long prayer list this morning, and I'm sure they weren't all mentioned. You may be having relationship problems in your family. Listen, there's all kind of problems that people deal with in this life. And you and I need to be praying for one another. But I want us to look at how God was going to provide for the Apostle Paul right here in the city of Corinth. He comes into this wicked city. I mean, given over to all kinds of idolatry. There were a lot of sailors coming and going in Corinth. It was just a wicked city. I'm not saying sailors are all wicked, but, you know, that was the culture that they were in. But look what God did for the Apostle Paul. There was a young Jewish couple named Aquila and Priscilla. I read about them a moment ago here in Acts 18. They had been in Rome, but a decree had been sent out that all Jews had to leave Rome. So where did Aquila and Priscilla end up? They ended up in Corinth. And when Paul got to Corinth, God brought Paul into the company of Aquila and his wife, Priscilla. Now I want you all to see the providence of God this morning. How many of y'all believe in God's providence? That word pro means beforehand, and video means to see beforehand. I'm glad to tell y'all this morning, we worship a God who can see the future. I can't. We got all these palm readers and stargazers and all that. All that is foolishness, folks. Don't be reading your horoscope. You know, these people will call you on the phone. I mean, or you'll see their ads on TV. If they know so much about me, why don't they call me? No, they want me to call them and pay them a bunch of money to tell them the future. None of them know the future. There's not a person in this house this morning that knows the first thing, really, for sure, about what's going to happen this afternoon. We just take it one second at a time, don't we? But I worship a God who knows the future as he knows the past. And he provides. He opens up ways. Now, Paul is arriving in Corinth, and by the way, there's a young Jewish couple there, husband and wife, Aquila and his wife, Priscilla, who had come from Rome to Corinth. And you know what? They're not only Jews, they're tent makers. Y'all remember what Paul's trade was? See, the Jews said, if you don't teach your son a trade, you're teaching him to be a thief. So every Jewish boy was taught a trade. And Paul's father taught him to make tents. That was a real talent in those days, to be able to take cloth or material and make a tent out of it. Paul was a tent maker. Well, so was Aquila and Priscilla. So already, they've got a lot in common with Paul. They're Jews just like he is. They're tent makers just like he is. And furthermore, they are Christians just like he is. Do y'all see God providing for his servant Paul when he arrives in Corinth? Look at that. Are y'all seeing what I'm seeing this morning? The providence of God providing for this servant before he even gets there. God has gotten Aquila and Priscilla waiting on him. And it's a place to live. It's a place to work. See, he can work with his own hands, helping them make tents. How many of y'all this morning can look back over your life and see the providence of God providing for you? How many of y'all can see it? Or are you blind to it? I want to tell you, God has providentially provided for all of us in amazing ways in this life. You know, you and I ought to really keep journals. I've started keeping a journal. It's tedious sometimes, but I can tell you, I go back and enjoy reading and seeing the hand of God in my life and how God is providing on a daily basis. And we ought to keep a gratitude list. How many of y'all keep a gratitude list? If you don't write it down, at least keep it in your minds and wake up every morning thinking about how good God has been to you. We sung that song this morning. The Lord has been so good to me. I want to sing his praise. Satan wants us to bellyache, complain, murmur. You know, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, God has given us richly all things to enjoy. Did y'all hear that? How many of y'all enjoy life? See, you got to have the right attitude to enjoy things.
How many of y'all got over here this morning and said, well, it'll probably be a dull service and I can't wait till Brother Sam quits?
See, y'all not going to enjoy the service. But if y'all came over here expecting to richly enjoy what God provides, you'll be fed from the Word of God. How many of y'all richly enjoy the food God provides for us? Wow. I had some of the most delicious barbecue ribs last night from Scott's. I highly recommend them. I enjoyed them.
I cook some snap beans and cabbage with them. I just enjoy food. How many of y'all, I'm a foodie. I enjoy food. I do. How many of y'all enjoy food? How many of y'all ever bow your heads and say, thank you, Heavenly Father. And look what He's provided for us. All kinds of food here in America. I mean, you go to the grocery store, and my brother Aaron said one time he had moved his garden to Walmart. Well, I'm not much of a gardener, but I'm telling you, I go to Walmart a lot. And I enjoy walking through there and picking out cabbage and apples and bananas and, you know, and occasionally I'll even get a steak. They're expensive, aren't they? But I tell you what, God has given us richly all things to enjoy. How many of y'all just think about it? Let me tell you, when you wake up in the morning, instead of waking up complaining, think about all the people in the world who really are hungry and don't have anything to eat. We ought to be praying for them. Now, God is good to us, and He's blessed us richly with all things to enjoy. Now, the Lord is going to be with Paul, and He's going to bless him in Corinth. And when he leaves there, he's going to be facing other problems. And I want to go with you just a moment over to Acts chapter 23. And I want to notice with you something that God said to him in Acts chapter 23 and verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. But I want to tell you, God was with him, and they failed in that attempt. And God provided him in a mighty way to preach the gospel in Rome, the capital city of the Roman Empire. I want to tell you, God was with this man. And just as God was with Paul, God will be with every one of you this morning. You say, well, I'm not a preacher, Brother Sam. No, but you're a child of God, and you've got a mission in this world, and you need to let your light shine. They say there's three things to be happy in this world. First of all, you need somebody to love, and you need a job. Amen. And you need something to look forward to. Well, if you're a child of God, you've got all three of them. You've got a God to love. Amen. You've got a job being a Christian, and you've got something to look forward to, His second coming in that glorious morning when He parts the heavens and descends with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and all the dead in Christ shall rise and fly away to be with Jesus. I want to tell you, we got it all, hadn't we? We got somebody to love, somebody, a job to do, and we've got something to look forward to. Amen. Oh, my friends, I wish, as I often say, I wish I could preach. Because this is a glorious book I've got before me this morning. And goodness, I'm still feeling a little weakness from what I've had. And y'all think, well, we were hoping he'd bring us a short message this morning. Maybe he's still weak. Well, I see the clock back there, and it's working. It's doing its job. Now, let me tell you, God helps people through people. See, He's going to be helping Paul through Aquila and Priscilla. And He's going to be helping him through Timothy, a young brother. And He's going to be helping him through Silas and Titus. How many of y'all today can say God has been helping you through people? God helps people through people. I want to tell you, He's helped me all my life through people. I think about Elder Daugherty, who was pastoring here when I first started seeing the light and understanding and how he could feed my soul. And that dear man of God gave himself to the cause of Jesus. He loved people. Elder Byrd. And listen, when I moved down to Statesboro to pastor Bethlehem Church, I was 20 years old, and they had 7 deacons in that church, and every last one of them was old enough to be my grandfather. And I'm a young fellow down there trying to teach them and preach them the Word of God. I remember going over to Sea Island Bank one day, and the president of the bank, Mr. William, he was a good man. He looked me up and down, and he said, "They tell me you've been called out to Bethlehem Church to preach to those old people." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, God bless you." I've never forgotten Brother William, President of the Sea Island Bank. He was a good man. He gave me a lot of encouragement. But you know what? Those old men just took me in and helped me. Instead of being on my case all the time, they just helped me and prayed for me. And the widows in that church, oh my soul. There were like 20 widows in that church, and every last one of them became like my mother or my grandmother. Let me tell you, folks, people, y'all need to be helping one another. Are y'all with me? Can anybody in the house say somebody's helped me? Are y'all helping anybody else? Y'all need to help one another. I'm glad to be in a church where people love God and love one another. And we want to help one another, right? We don't want to tear one another down. We don't want to find fault. We want to help one another. Even as Aquila and Priscilla and Timothy and Titus and all these dear people helped the beloved Apostle Paul. Paul couldn't have made it without them. God was helping him through them. And you and I today ought to be helping one another. Amen. Thank you all for your good attention this morning. Don't quit. That's what I'm trying to tell you all this morning. Don't quit. If you started, keep it up. You know, Christopher Columbus, who came to this country in 1492, his crew wanted to go back. I mean, it was a hard trip, and they were starving. I mean, they were eating mice that were on the ship. They were starving to death. And they wanted to go back, but Christopher Columbus, and by the way, I believe God was with Christopher Columbus. That word Christopher means Christ bearer. Christ bearer. And I believe God was opening up this new world for his people and his church here in America through Christopher Columbus. And in Columbus's journals, every day, and they found them, and every day, Christopher would say, "Today, we sailed on. Today, we sailed on. Today, we sailed on." He didn't quit. I want to encourage all of y'all today, don't give up your Christian profession. Paul said, "Hold fast to your profession." Listen, not your possession. God's holding that for you. But you and I need to hold on to our profession of Jesus Christ, because Satan wants you to turn loose. Now, I want to close, I promise, with this verse, because God said to Paul, "I have much people in this city." Did y'all see that in the text? Acts 18. God said to Paul, "I have much people in this city." Now listen, Armenian brethren would tell us God sent Paul over there to make him some people. But no, they were already God's people before Paul ever got there. "I have much people in this city." Listen, God's got a people all over the world, in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, long before the preacher gets there. See, the preacher's not called to make him some sheep. They're just called to feed the sheep. And we need to understand that God is taking care of his children through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Jesus saved everyone the Father sent him to save. How many of y'all believe people are going to go to hell that God wants in heaven? If you believe that, you need to read your Bible a little more. Because the Bible says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Jesus isn't going to lose one the Father gave him to save. But Satan in this life is trying to tear us down. May God help you and encourage you. Thank you all for your attention this morning.